So let's put our Bibles in hand. Are we ready? Just for a chance, if you see the bulletin, I hope that you have that as well. You'll see today's outline. This message is going to look a little different. We're going to just trust on the Holy Spirit to do something here. Felt very impressed to not do the whole message. Matter of fact, we're going to see what the Lord has for you. Are you willing to do that? So that means don't fall asleep like could be our custom. Let's make sure that we get a chance to say, Lord, what is it that you have for me? Or what is it that you have for me to say or to do? So I'm so grateful. Many of you have been so thankful to what God's been doing to your life through the ministry of Hope Chapel. And I want to thank you. I just want to highlight, too, because many of you are aware of my habits. And I did have somebody that shared with me how I might have a coffee problem. So they listed some humor. Can I just throw it out there real quick? How it could show that I might have a coffee problem. Number one, you refer to your fellow parishioners as coffee mates. Way to go, matey. Also, you know you have a coffee problem when you really don't tan, you roast. Hello. Thank you for that. You can tell you have a coffee problem when you're caught in the church rec room playing ping pong without an opponent. I like that one. The main reason that you have a job is because you like coffee breaks. 2 o'clock cup of coffee. How many have ever heard me say that? Two at two. That's it. That's how I roll. And that you know you have a coffee problem when all of a sudden you are called a drip and you think it's a compliment. And finally, you know that you have a coffee problem when you name your two cats Cream and Sugar. And that's the one that's not true about me. I don't have cats. And so we just thought I'd throw that out there too. Glad you're with us today. I really am. Matter of fact, I saw a marquee of a church that says, you're never too bad to come into church, but you're never too good to be outside. In other words, we need to keep coming in together. So Lord, thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your hand. Speak to our hearts, Lord, what you have for us right now. And you can do that, and you will do that. In Jesus' name, amen. We've been in a journey, a little brief journey, but it is that series that's entitled Gather Together from Isolation. You and I know that being isolated has caused some emotional duress. We've had some people with some real issues, and we're not just talking adults. We're talking even teenagers. Sometimes being isolated, being by ourselves, plays in a person's mind or imagination. We're dealing with some things, even outside or even in the public, where people are wrestling with lies and deceptions, and that they don't really feel quite capable of getting back into public. Could be a variety of reasons. We've discussed that. We've talked about that. It could be even the most current thing, if it's not about the virus, it's about the latest virus, and that the concern for about being sick, and that people have this element of fear that's coming on them. It could be other areas, but all of a sudden we have people that are not feeling comfortable being with other people, even their own family members. So we wanted to bring this series up and just kind of trust the Lord. One of the takeaways is Matthew chapter 18, verse 20. And Matthew 18, verse 20, you can see up on the screen there, Jesus says, "For where two or three gather together as my followers, I am there among them." And something that's fascinating when we gather together as followers of Jesus, you do not get this when you are just even with family members. Not all of our family members are born again. They could be somewhat confident that God exists, but you know when you're with believers and Jesus is in the midst, anything can happen. Something's going to take place. And you could even have a Thanksgiving meal with family there, and lo and behold, even in church settings, people are on their smartphones or playing with their tablets, and there's no real interaction. There's always conversation. Jesus wants to bring a breakthrough, wants to bring something, but people are completely distracted. That's probably some of our challenge going on with our live stream. We're grateful you're with us. We're thrilled that you're engaged. We can always tell when certain people have some takeaways. But there's plenty going on in the room, even in the setting. We recognize when Jesus said, hey, the sower of the seed goes out and he sprues those seeds, he says, are the word of God. And then he gives four categories of people. And only 25% that word of God will bear fruit. 75% of the word of God, we could leave say in this room, 75% are going to walk away saying, what was that all about? So you can see here, God's trying to make a move, and we're finding that if, in fact, the possibility that we are facing, that maybe this last decade, maybe sooner, that we really are approaching quickly the latter days, where things are accelerating in such a way that people are distancing themselves from one another. It is a mark of darkness to divide people and separate them. It's always been that case. As a pastor overseeing church for 35 years, you could always find individuals where there is some disruptive or people upset with each other and they just kind of separate, go away for a long time. It's just an indication of darkness trying to get people upset, say, I don't really need church. But we know this. We do need one another. It was the word of God that says that man should not be alone. It's not good that any of us should be alone. So our series is all about really making sure that we gather together. Why? Because when Jesus is in our midst, man, anything can happen. And he's going to do something right now. I really believe that right now. So let's just take a look here, because today's message is entitled Habits for Healthy Gatherings. Habits for Healthy Gatherings. We're going to have one this afternoon. We're looking forward to that, but let's just take a look at it, because habits, really, when it comes to that, habit is simply a behavior or an attitude that's really kind of practiced. It's put forth. You know that old, you know, practice makes perfect? It's really practice makes permanent. And you do something long enough, like brush your teeth, and you normally, I should brush my teeth at least once a day kind of thing. I should make my bed. I should come along and maybe shower. Or for me, you should at least make your coffee in the morning. So you can realize that there's just certain habits that are formed, and habits consistent will make us basically describe our character. Or you could say our character is the sum total of what we do with our lives. When it's all said and done, what is the pattern that you have done or continue to live out? And we hope that's all about Jesus. But there's some patterns or some habits that are really good and life-giving, give good direction. And there's others that will bring a person into painful experiences. It's like, man, I should probably cut that off because that is just causing me some untold pain. I shouldn't. But there's always good habits. Good habits like picking up the Bible and reading it daily, praying a little more intentionally, exercising, eating right. Those are good habits. But there's other things that could really cause us some problems. And I just wanted, you could see I highlighted five habits that I think would really help people getting back into public where they're feeling comfortable once again to engage people. And listen, it's not all about what you and I can receive from being back with a gathering of Christians, but how about what you bring? How about what you and who you are that will allow people to receive much? Therefore, I want to just share the first note, our first point, the habit of correct thinking. Let's just take a look at that for a moment. Find people have some habits that are causing them to not think properly. And I want to just trust the Holy Spirit right now that he kind of helps us in thinking correctly. Let's look at Romans chapter 8, verse 5 through 6. I'm reading from the New Living Translation, but it says this, those who are dominated by the sinful nature think about sinful things. It's obvious, no big deal. We know that. But man, the Bible is so relevant, so real. But it says, those who are controlled by the Holy Spirit think about things that please the Spirit. So let your sinful nature control your mind leads to death, but let the Spirit control your mind leads to life and to peace. I want the Lord in this setting right now, to allow the Holy Spirit to move you and me into right thinking. Some of us could be thinking in such ways it brings forth elements of death. And we realize, why am I not happy? How come I'm not fulfilled? What is dealing with that? We realize Jesus has come to set us free. That's the first given. Got to have Jesus, or there's no real internal work going on there. You got to have the Spirit of God, or it's just a pipe dream. You just read something and say, I don't get it. But it's important. And some of us have been dealing and wrestling with lies. When Jesus talked about where lies originate, you can write that down on your notes. It's John 8, verse 44. And he's dealing with the crowd, and they are not getting it. They're not getting it. And he's talking to people who are very religious. There's the Pharisees. He says, man, you're not getting what I'm saying. Why? Because the truth is not in you. But you're of your father, the devil. He uses that name. Can you imagine? Does the devil really exist? You're of your father, the devil, because he's a liar. And he's been a liar from the beginning, and the truth is not in him. So to think a little differently is to start to say, okay, you can determine what is truth and what is a lie. And for us to start to think correctly, even getting back into public, for example, you're important. Wouldn't it be great that all of us actually know who we are in Jesus? That's a great goal. I want to know who I am in Jesus. Sometimes we've been so conditioned to listen to lies, we can't break free. Let's believe the Lord to do that right now. How would the Lord do that? In what way would he do that? One of the things that I like, it's in 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Let's take a look at that in 2 Corinthians 10, verse 3. Then we're going to just allow the Holy Spirit to move in the room just a little bit. You might have never been in a spirit-filled environment, but today's the day, and I'm glad it's going to happen. But 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3 through 5, the Apostle Paul is writing here. The Apostle Paul is saying something to the church at Corinth, and he's wrestling in the first couple of verses. What is he wrestling with? Well, he has people that are just denying and doubting his apostleship. He's never really come across to say, he's always had this great descending into, you know, basically humility. I'm the least of all people. I'm the least of the apostles. I'm the worst of sinners. But he's getting challenged. There are people that don't think he is who he is. And he's coming against that. And he's going to say something in particular here in verse 3, 4, and 5. Because he's talking about strongholds, thoughts that come in. Somebody could launch a thought toward him and toward the whole church, maybe toward your life. And the Apostle Paul is thinking, is this of God, this thought, or is this of the adversary? And the second thing he says, is this permeating this group, and is it permeating me? Am I thinking this way? That's literally how he's working this through. And then if you read 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 4, he literally says, listen, I'm concerned for you all because if somebody else preaches another Jesus, you're going to receive them. So sometimes you could say, that must be Jesus, but what if it's a different Jesus? What if it's not the Jesus of the Scripture? Let's take a look here. Verse 3, it says, for though we walk in the flesh, we are not waging war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but have divine power to destroy strongholds. We destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God and take every thought captive to obey Christ. Say, well, where are you going with this, Pastor Paul? Well, we're talking about having good habits of thinking correctly. And there could be, and I know it has happened in my life, a number of times I realize, you know what? I've been entertaining that lie for a whole week. What is wrong with me? It gets a grip on a person. You realize you're thinking a lie. Haven't been into the Word of God. Haven't had anybody come along and say, listen, that's not the Lord. And finally, there's this merciful hand of the Holy Spirit that says, you need to put that thing down. That is not of God. So we're going to take a moment right now. We're going to allow the Holy Spirit right where you're at and in this room. Said we're going to change things just a little bit, but let's let the Holy Spirit deal with our lives personally, because this could be something that all of a sudden you didn't realize you have let a lie come in, and it could be all the way back from childhood. Who knows? Let's just drop the house lights just a little bit. Let's let the Holy Spirit move in our lives just a little bit. Let's come against those things that would have set up in our lives. And you who are with us via live stream, thank you. Don't turn us off yet. It's going to take some real, probably tranquility to say, Holy Spirit, speak. Lord, what is it? Bring those things to my awareness. We love that. Psalm 139, search me, O God, and know me. You know my sitting down and my rising up. Speak right now. So Holy Spirit, we welcome you right now to just move. Is there a particular pattern of thought that you know is not healthy and it's been speaking some pretty dark things to you and you want to see that go? We have that divine power in Christ. So we're going to allow the Holy Spirit to move right now. Just let him speak to you. He'll bring something to your mind or imagination. Don't let that be alarming. God's here. Remember, two or three of his followers. In one situation, he's in our midst. God is here. I want to thank you for joining us today at Hope Chapel, Huntington Beach. It's our desire to bring the teachings of this church to others globally. If today's message has brought you closer to Jesus, we want to know. Can you send us an email to office@hopechapelhb.org? Would you consider supporting this ministry financially? You can give securely online at hopechapelhb.org/give. If a check is your preferred method, you can send a mailed check to Hope Chapel, P.O. Box 548, Huntington Beach, California, 92648. If you want to be contacted by Hope Chapel, would you consider subscribing to our weekly newsletters at hopechapelhb.org/subscribe? Whatever season of life you're in, we want to go through it with you. We want to thank you once again for joining us, and God bless you.